Andre Khachaturian of Armenian Sports News, joined today with a very special guest, Armenia Pickleball's Isabel Papazian, who's joining us from Yerevan. Shortly after competing in Florida in the Pickleball World Cup in Armenia's first ever appearance in an international tournament, they finished 33rd out of 68 countries. Pretty respectable finish in your first performance as a country. Isabel, how are you? How is Yerevan?
I'm good. I'm very much enjoying the Yerevan lifestyle, as everyone probably does. I love the vibes here. I love Armenia. No matter where I've like grown up and been, I still consider like Armenia and Yerevan like home to me. So it's always a pleasure coming back and being able to be here, live amongst my Armenians and speaking my language and just being around it all. It's really special. It's a special feeling.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I feel like a lot of diaspora Armenians can resonate with that feeling. But a lot of diaspora Armenians don't play international pickleball. And you've done that. You're a fantastic player. You're on the Armenian national team, which, first of all, tell me, you messaged me about the pickleball, your pickleball career, about a few months ago on Armenian Sports News. And I was very intrigued. I'm like, wow, there's always a new sport that Armenia is developing a national team for. And pickleball is the newest one. And how did that the national team come together, first of all? I feel like that takes a lot of things that need to go into motion with the Armenian Federation and getting enough people, making sure everybody's the top talented people. Can you kind of describe that process of the Armenian national pickleball team?
To be like completely honest, Armenia is completely new to the pickleball scene. It's completely new to like we don't have a federation, we don't have those like really like official governing bodies and stuff yet. It's one of those things where it's such a new sport, it's such a new thing, and not only just like in Armenia, in a lot of like developing countries, like we've seen, like I saw countries in like the World Cup, like Aruba and Bonaire and Trinidad, where I was like, oh, that's like really sick that you guys have like a pickleball team and you're able to represent your country. It's always so like fascinating seeing like small countries where some of them you don't even know existed. You know, last year they're not very mainstream, to be like represented on like a world stage, which was also incredible to see. But for our process, like we have a little association. It's not a, I mean, I'm to be corrected on this. It's called like National Association of Pickleball.
Yeah.
It's not really like a governing body or anything really like governmental just yet, but it's just a little place where whoever is interested in pickleball in Armenia can come and play, and has its own members and has its own things where they're able to come and learn how to play pickleball and just get accustomed to this new sport that is kind of everywhere around the world, but not here. So when I came to Armenia, I came in June. Coming from Australia, the pickleball scene is massive there. So I came in and I was like, are there any pickleball courts here? What's going on? What's the scene like? And did a quick little like Google search. I saw this like little like Armenia pickleball, some like little courts and stuff. And I was really curious. So I was like, let me call these people. I called them, got to know them, went and met them. And they were like a really nice like group of like beginner, like amateur, like players who were just there for like fun and stuff. And then I continued my own training and whatever I did. And then I found out news that there was going to be a World Cup. And then I got asked like, hey, is this something that would interest you? Like, would you represent Armenia? And I said, absolutely. Like, why not? And then there were a few little like complications in the sense of finding numbers, finding like players to compete at a high level in both, because you have like a senior category and an open category, and your seniors is 50 plus and an open is like your more advanced players. So finding a team, finding those kinds of things was a little bit difficult. So at first it was like we might not be able to pull a team together. So I'd already applied for Australia as well, because I'm from Australia. I was like, oh, see my chances and stuff. And then I think a couple of weeks later, I got messaged again, hey, there's actually a chance of us potentially going to Miami. you still interested? And I was like, absolutely. I'm like, I signed up for both countries. I'm like, but if I had to choose and if you guys can make this happen, I'm 100% choosing Armenia over Australia. Nothing against Australia. It's my home. It's
Course.
where I'm born and bred, and I'm an Aussie at heart. But my whole purpose in what I've been trying to do and the reason I moved here, the reason I've like changed my flag across is because I know how much representation these Western countries get, especially from Australia. I know how much representation they get. So if I can be the diaspora who has like the more passion to give a cause for Armenians and put Armenian flag and Armenian representation through me on an international stage, that means more to me than anything else.
Yes.
So, and if I can bridge the gap and I can make the relations between Australia and Armenia and maybe in the future be able to intertwine the two, dream come true. And that was the whole purpose. And it was honestly like incredible. And then we got the news like, hey, been accepted, Armenia's going to the World Cup. And it was like, yo, tickets, the hotels, how are we doing this? And it was almost like a weird flick because I think a bit of us was like, it might not happen. So, being a small country, all these like little logistics and stuff, like, oh, maybe they won't even, maybe can we make a team together? Can we not? Will we get the numbers? Will we fill it? And all of a sudden it became a reality and you're like, wow, okay, let's get this going. So that's how like a little bit of a process started. It was like reaching, like wasn't me, I accepted, and then the whoever was organizing it was like reaching out to players to see who could play for
So,
Armenia.
with that said, where did some of these players come from? I'm sure it's across the globe, but was it mostly American or?
So we had some America, we had Americans, we had some like that were from Armenia playing the senior team. We had me, an Aussie, an Aussie Armenian and stuff. So it was mostly American and then American, one Aussie, and then Armenians.
Very cool. And
All Armenian. All Armenian.
yeah, so it's kind of like a heritage team. It's a pickleball is still a young sport, like you said. It's not like an Olympic sport yet. I feel like it's going to get there though. It's
It's
so
definitely
popular.
going to be.
Yeah, and especially you're seeing guys like Andre Agassi get involved with it now. How has that been like seeing? Obviously, you're part of a small country, Armenia, but you're also part of like a small sport that's trying to show the world that hey, this is a legitimate sport. Because from what I know about pickleball, it first started as like a way for elder community to continue to play a sport that wasn't as rigorous as tennis, but it was still more active than like table tennis. And then now it's kind of just exploded into this phenomenon, into this very popular sport. You see it everywhere. Everywhere in Boston, there's pickleball courts now, and young people, old people, everyone's playing it. So you're part of this growth movement. What does it feel to be a part of that? Not just as an Armenian, just as an athlete, you're part of this growing sport.
See, it's a really funny one because see, I come from ex-tennis as well. So I've gone through like the spectrum of like I was an ex-pro tennis player and stuff, and now I quit that when I was 18. I'm 23 now, and I picked up the sport last year. And I've only really been playing for less than a year because I was out a little bit with like injuries and stuff. And then plus I moved to Armenia, and like the logistics of it, I wasn't able
Yeah.
to train and play with an injury, and the scene kind of has developed. So going from tennis, you always have that like you look back at your tennis, and you're like, wow, okay, like it's a bigger sport, bigger, like it's more rigorous, it's more this and that, and then you have like the humbling side of it. I take myself a little bit more humble in it where I can still appreciate this sport for what it is. And I can see how accessible it is and how much more fun it is, to be honest, being a part of both. Then you get the other side where there's like that like little bit of people kind of look down on you. You're like, oh, it's pickleball. It's just a social sport. It's for old people. Like, what are you doing playing this? And then I'm like, guys, you actually don't understand. Like, it's actually, you put some respect on its name, to be honest, because it's beautiful in the sense of how social it can be, how accessible it is, how easy it is to get into. But also, when you reach a high level, it's not as easy as it looks. There's a lot of like little nuances, there's a lot of like little things that, as much as it's transferable, it's a lot of unlearning, new learning tactics. And to be fair, like every sport has its like, has these like difficulties, and so every sport almost has to like fight to like have its space in
Of
this
course.
world, you know? Like,
Ping
so
pong is
it's.
an, table tennis is an Olympic sport, and that is not the most athletically like rigorous
Exactly.
activity, but it's
Every
difficult.
sport has like a fight to its name, you know. And now pickleball is kind of like having to fight for its name as well. And as well, like I'll like sometimes get past tennis players be like, "Why are you playing pickleball?" I'm like, "Dude, when you get into it, relax. Like it, you will understand. It's fun. It's really competitive, and it's like it's really funny. Like you, I can see how a lot of people when I say, "Oh, I play pickleball professionally," they're like, "I didn't know that was a professional sport. Like,
Right. Well,
seems
they're
like an old
learning.
person sport." And they're
They're
learning, and
learning.
it's great. And it's like, it's so cool to be a part of like the rise of it. Because as well, I came in only last year, and pickleball's been growing only the last like couple of years in Australia. So when I got asked, like, "Hey, do you want to play pickleball?" I was like, "What? That's a sport? Like, who names a sport pickleball?" And I was part of those ones where I was like, "What is a sport?" And it's been cool to kind of be a part of the early journey rise and seeing like how in Australia, in Asia, in Europe, and then in America. I mean, America was always booming for like years and years, way before the rest of the world. So now to see how like quick it's rising, overtaking other sports, and genuinely as well, how much enjoyment people get out of it is pretty cool. And to
Yeah.
even now have the opportunity that like I get to be an athlete. And now I get to do something where it's representing my country in a really positive way as it grows is like so special to me as well. So in the sense of like it's a rising sport already, and I get to be a part of this
Yeah.
journey. And then on top of that, as like it's completely new to Armenia, and I get to relive that passion that I didn't get to achieve when I was in tennis, and I get to do something so good for Armenia, the representation, and just for myself, and hopefully for this country.
Yeah, and so you talk about that. I just want to ask you, what was the scene like, or what is the scene like, a pickleball scene like in Armenia right now? When you're walking around, like, are there many courts? How many people play? You said there were some Armenians from Armenia representing on that on the national team that you guys just competed in. And
Yeah.
so, what's the scene, the pickleball scene like there?
It's very, very at its early stages, and there's a lot of reasons for it. Like, you know, a small country might not have the accessibility, like, or even like the awareness or the exposure to it, like other
Yeah.
countries
How many
and things
courts do
like
you think
that.
there are?
Three. I know for a fact there's three.
Okay, and they're all in Yerevan.
all in one area. All in one area. And
Wow.
it's in one place. It's in one place that they built the courts on, and not many people know about it. And in all honesty, like if you walk in the streets and they're like, "Oh," like for me especially, they're like, you look like an athlete." And I'm like, "Yeah, like I am." And they're like, "Oh, what do you play?" I'm like, "Pickleball." They're like, "What?" So like no one really knows what pickleball is here. And then I try to explain it, they still don't know. So I have to go show pictures and video. They're like, "Ha, tennis in my night." Like it's like tennis. I'm like,
Ah.
"Hey, yes, but no, it's different." And I have to go through the whole explanation more like 50 times in a week
Is
because
there
everyone
even a
asks me
word
what
for
I do.
pickleball in Armenian? Would you say like
No, but see,
Vakhtangi
I directly translate it, and I make a joke out of it into
Gundak?
like Tupungundak. Like literally I translate it and I'm
Gundak.
like, it doesn't make sense. Like it makes no sense, but like that's technically, I'm like, it's not real. Don't take my word for it, but that's like the best way. Yeah,
That's
that's the
really
best
funny.
way that any kind of like translation you can get from it. It's the funniest
That
thing.
well, it's good to see it's growing. Do you know when those courts were built, or who built them, or why they were built?
I'm not sure when, but I know that there was a little bit of like a, "Hey, we have this idea, like there's a sport that's growing, we'd like to put some courts in." And
Yeah.
then they built the courts to maybe see how pickleball would rise. I think it was built like 3 or 4 years ago. But in all honesty, like there hasn't been much of a boom or much of like a upward trajectory of like pickleball. There's like a few members or like there's a few people that may come and play, but a lot of the time like those courts are pretty vacated. So that's
So,
something that hopefully can change soon.
how many of your teammates were from Armenia, and do you know how they got into the sport?
I think that was from my team in Armenia. It was me, but I'm technically diasporan, and one of
That's
them
what I
is
mean,
also
like,
diasporan. One is also diasporan that moved to Armenia,
oh, okay.
and another one who was from Armenia. I'm pretty sure all born in Armenia, but then moved overseas and then kind of came back.
Understood.
Yeah.
Probably
And
then
they were
how they
part of the
picked up on
senior
it.
team. They were part of the senior team as well. So they were one where when they moved to America, they came back and they're like, oh, this cool sport called pickleball. They just brought a little bit of their friends and stuff and then like got into it and brought some more friends and every now and then come and play. And they're social and fun, which is,
Yeah.
again, like sport is all about like having fun and first.
So, question I ask everyone that I interview is, and you kind of touched on this, but I'd like you to go a little more in depth, is you're obviously a very proud Armenian and you're very passionate about pickleball. How does it feel like for you personally to be able to do what you love while representing your background, Armenian background?
It's a bit of a pinch me moment, I'm not gonna lie. So a little bit of background. So I played pro tennis for 8 years and I got to like a top 300 in the world in like a junior under 18 ranking, and then I was transitioning into like the women's pro league. Unfortunately, circumstances, other things as well, and then on top of everything, COVID just like completely ruined everything. Like I was at like this transitional period, and then in Melbourne especially, there was like a 9, 10, almost 11
Yeah.
month like lockdown, like pretty harsh. And in that moment, I just found like my priorities and stuff, and like with COVID and the bit of like the negative association that I had with tennis, I felt like, hey, look, I'm gonna take a break from this sport, see if I get back into it. And it never really drove me to go back to the sport. And that's that. Like that was the path my tennis ended. And it was sad because I had all this like dream of in my tennis career that I could be like the Armenian to representing tennis and, you know, do great things in Armenian representation on such a high level. And unfortunately that didn't happen. And it was a sad moment, but I got blessed with this opportunity to play pickleball, and I was only really technically going to play like a season of it. I got asked by like old tennis friends to like play and all this stuff, and I was like, ah, it's just what I'll do it for fun, see what happened. And after the season, so we came second in the country on my first season, and I actually felt like this weird like light bulb moment where I was like, oh my God, like this is something that I can pursue and something that I can be really good at, and now I can restart that dream and that passion and that fire to represent Armenia again on such a worldwide stage again. And I have that opportunity, and this is something that has always been so deep in my heart for, and now I can do it on my own with my own kind of whatever I've learned from tennis, everything that I've done and everything I've grown, I can do it my way, and this is like what I want to do. So then I made that decision. I was like, this is exactly what I'm going to do. So I moved to Armenia, got through all of my citizenship stuff, and I was like, this is exactly what I'm going to do. Like, this is what I was put on this planet for, like representing this motherland. Like, it's like my bread and butter. Like, I have to do it. Everything revolves around Armenia. Like, this is it. So to be able to go from this is something that I wanted when I was a kid, never got to do, and then had a second chance, and then it's become a reality where I actually got to like a World Cup level representing Armenia, and I'm actually seeing Isabel Papazian with like ARM, and people are screaming Armenia, and I'm like, whoa, did that actually just happen? Like, this is crazy. And I get to see like the scorecard say Isabel Papazian ARM with the Armenian flag. It was just like a pinch me moment. I was like, far out, this feels great, this is amazing, like I never want this feeling to end. And it's not going to, because now I've like officially changed it, and I'm going to like just keep representing Armenia. So it's so special, it's so special, it's genuinely everything I've wanted since I was a kid, and everything I've worked hard towards in everything that I do. Even when I finished tennis, I was always thinking of how I can kind of spread the awareness of Armenia. So I started an Armenian jewelry business as well. And I was like, I gotta get some kind of like Armenianness out there. I can't do this. So
Amazing.
yeah, it's been such a special journey.
Everybody has their reasons why they love Armenia and where they're from. It's very interesting to me. You see a lot of passionate Armenians in Armenia and in the States. I feel like there's, especially in Los Angeles, there's so many Armenians. But growing up in Australia, what's the Armenian community like? And Why did it, how did that make you feel so passionate about your homeland?
I come from Melbourne, so Melbourne is like significantly smaller in the community size compared to Sydney. So in comparison, so Sydney has, I think, around like 45 to 55,000 Armenians, and that is still a data like point that I don't actually know for sure. I think they might even be more. Whereas Melbourne, there is a significantly smaller group, but being smaller also can have its perks where it's a little bit more closely and you kind of know a little bit people. But I grew up outside of the Armenian community a lot. So I was further away distance-wise, geographically-wise from the Armenians. I grew up around some Armenians and then we moved far away and then life gets in the way, parents and, life and life is hard. You have bills to pay, mortgages to do. You don't
Yes.
have time to always be a part of like communities and stuff. And if you do, even better. So, and then I got into like pro sports, so that really limited my time as well for anything.
Yeah.
So I really got into like the Armenian community when I was like 16, 17. So I was like very late. And then when I rocked up, everyone was like, "Who are you?" And everyone knew my brother, so they associated me with my your buddy's like little sister. And I was like, "That's me, guys." So it was really cool being a part of like the Armenian community. And like I do dance. I'm still a part of the dance group, even though I've kind of moved here. So part of the dance group, I was playing for like Hominet Men, playing futsal in Melbourne against like the Sydney Armenians. I played the Pan Armenian Games in Armenia against like other countries as well. So it's always been great having that like community, but I wouldn't say that like my passion came from like the Armenian community. I have
Really?
to give that all to my parents.
Yeah.
I have to give that all to my parents because, see, my parents, like, even though we didn't speak as much Armenian at home because you grew up in an English-speaking country, so everything gets mixed up. They also grew up Soviet Union, so it's Russian, Armenian, English thrown in the middle. You're kind of just dodging between like these three words. Is that actually Armenian? I don't know. And you grew up like that. But I have to give that all to like my parents in the sense of like, showing me it and telling me stories about it. And then also a lot of that also was my own interest in it. So I took stories from like my parents and I grew interested in it. And I was like, wow, I want to learn more. And it was especially the turning point for me was especially because again, I was blinded from a lot of the history in Armenia and I didn't know much. To be completely honest, I actually didn't know about the genocide till I was probably about 15 years old.
Wow.
I didn't know about it. And when my mom told me, like, "Hey, this happened," I was in shock. Like, I was in shock. And for some reason, I think every Armenian has that like blood boiling moment where they're like, "Whoa, I didn't know this happened." And like, they get that sense of like frustration and things. So, I learned about that, and then I felt a little bit ashamed in myself as to like, "Hey, like you're Armenian, and this happened in the past, and they try to wipe you out. You need to do better." So I took that upon myself as to, "Hey, you should really learn your culture. You should really learn your dances. You should really learn your language, and you should really learn your history, so that you are your own like voice. You're your own voice, and you can defend your country. You can defend your nationality and the honor of this country." So I took upon that myself. So I started listening to music. I started listening to like, movies and watching and trying to speak Armenian as much as I could, reading and learning how to read on my own and all these things. So that was a big shift in it. And then that, I don't know what, awoke like this massive like passion and pride and sense of like Armenianness where I was like, "Nah, that's it. I'm Armenian. That's it." And
Amazing.
it went from there. It just grew from there.
That's really cool background. And I can say to you that your parents will be, I'm sure they're very proud of you for they did a good job to instill those values in you. And now you're putting pickleball on the map in Armenia, putting Armenia on the map in the sport of pickleball. That's fantastic. But so what's before I let you go, what's next for Armenia Pickleball and for you?
I won't speak on pickleball in Armenia just yet, because I don't know. But I now will be focusing on my athletic career And in hopes of focusing on my athletic career, I hope to then bring awareness and a little bit of inspiration for Armenians to play pickleball here or in the diaspora anywhere. So I will be making my calendar and going back to Australia, competing across Australia and Asia, hopefully a bit in Europe. I might even make appearances in the States, just playing as much as I can, representing the flag as much as I can, speaking on the course, speaking on pickleball, Armenians, Armenia, Armenians in pickleball, and hopefully let the cards fall where they may, and hopefully inspire some youth, inspire Armenians, young, old, to join the sport, join this like journey, and play a sport, whether it's for fun, being healthy, like bringing a community together, doing something different, or should they want to take the pro league and be one of my competitors as well. Absolutely. My teammates or competitors, I welcome all of it. As long as I can like compete at a high level and bring awareness, that's my top priority, being a good athlete and a good Armenian.
I love that. Very well said, Isabel. And the coming from Australia, you know, there aren't that many big time Armenian athletes. So the one I can think of is he wasn't born in Australia. He just moved there and became a legend there in basketball. Brian Gorgian, Australia's national team
Yes.
basketball coach. So
Yes.
now we know Isabel Papazian, and hopefully
Yes.
you continue your career and continue to dominate. And
Thank you so much.
best of luck to you going forward. And thank you for so much for taking the time to talk with us on Armenian Sports News.
Thank you as well.
And we will definitely be in touch. Thank you, Isabel.
Amazing. Thank you so much.